Why is the gospel in the Bible? For what reason has God revealed the good news in the scriptures? Has God revealed the gospel so that immoral people with no standard can simply ignore it? Has God taken all this time and effort to reveal the Bible, these 66 books, so that modern academic so-called elite people with no sense can say, that's not needed anymore. There's no such thing as sin or forgiveness of sin. Is the gospel in the Bible so that liberals who don't believe the Bible, even though they call themselves Christians, can mock at the miracles and the supernatural contained here in the scriptures? And of course, the answer to all those questions is a resounding no. Is the gospel in the Bible so that Steve Chalk and other so-called evangelicals who are actually apostates in the United Kingdom can twist and deny the very essential elements of the gospel, such as penal substitution? No, no, no. The gospel is not in the Bible for any of those reasons. The gospel is not in the Bible for people who ignore it. It is not in the Bible for senseless intellectuals who deny it. It is not in the Bible for liberals who don't believe it. It's not there for those who twist its message. The reason for the gospel is not that type of person at all. The gospel is recorded for us, inspired in the Bible. It is the Bible. And it's there for sinners. Not for apostates, not for deniers of God, not for those who think they're all right, but the gospel is revealed to us. It's revealed for sinners. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The gospel's in the Bible for sinners. I want to give you a few points today, illuminating this fact and preaching the gospel at the same time. The reason the gospel is in the Bible is, number one, because of the sin of sinners. The sin of sinners. Sin, human failure to keep God's word, to attain to God's standard. Any transgression of God's word. Human failure to obey God. That is sin. Genesis 2 and 3, the first failure. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve both took of it and they ate. Genesis 3, 6. The first human failure in history. But not the last. It's not as if one failure was enough for humanity and we learned our lesson. Not a bit of it. Humanity continued on in failure and sin and transgression of God's word. Repeatedly disobeying the word of God, and that is the story of human history. Man's rebellion against God, man's sin. Humanity's disobedience to the laws that God puts in place for our own good and protection. Why? Well, because humans are bound in sin. We've studied this in weeks past. Jesus says in John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the slave of sin. Sin has addictive qualities. Sin comes with chains attached. It brings a bondage. When we sin, as our first parents did, when they sinned, we in them became entangled in the unbound in the chains of sin. Sinners are slaves to sin. The gospel is for sinners, those that have a sinful nature and are sinful by birth. By nature, we are children of wrath, even as others, Ephesians chapter 2. And that's why in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't end right there. Because humanity did not learn from its mistake. Humanity did not turn over a new leaf. No, but continued in sin and disobedience for thousands and thousands of years. Look at the Old Testament even. Take the Old Testament alone. All the people in the Old Testament, even the most godly of people. Think of Abraham, the great father Abraham, father of the faithful. Abraham, justified by faith, his faith was counted unto him as righteousness. The great man of faith, lying on two occasions about his wife. He sinned. He failed. Or Moses, another great man of faith, the man whom God knew as a man knows his friend. Losing his temper, not wanting to be told what to do. Joshua, not asking for God's guidance before the battle of Ai and so on. Every single person in the Old Testament, no matter how godly they were, they all sinned, they were all guilty, they failed, and they fell before the power of sin. And in the New Testament, every human being that we read about outside of the incarnate Son of God, every single other person, what are they? They are nothing but sinners who sinned. That's it. Sin from Adam and Eve. Sin enslaves the human race, and we will not and we cannot stop. Now that is the reason for the gospel. That's why the gospel is revealed in the Bible. Because of the sin of sinners. And that's why it's in the Bible, it's there for sinners. And that is humbling. What other reasons is the gospel in the Bible? Well, it all flows on. Point number two. The gospel is in the Bible because God is righteous in judging sinners. It says in the little book of Numbers, let me read this to you. It's a great little verse, very somber. Numbers 14 and verse 18. Listen to this. The Lord, and that is in all capitals, so it's Jehovah. Jehovah is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Whatever way God forgives sin, whatever way he shows mercy, whatever way he pardons transgression, it never involves clearing the guilty. God does not ignore guilt. God does not simply pass over sin. God does not ever pretend that sin never happened. He doesn't forget about it in that sense. God is righteous in judging sinners. Justice must be done, and it cannot and will not ever be passed over. And if you have ever sinned, and if you are guilty of being a sinner, mark these words in your conscience as I mark them in mine. Because they're not my words at all. They're God's words. God will by no means clear the guilty. That's powerful. He will not pardon sin. He will not pretend it didn't happen. Our guilt must be paid for because God's justice demands it. That's the second reason why the gospel's in the Bible. Because God is righteous in judging sinners. The third reason the gospel is in the Bible is this. Because God's love, mercy, and pardon he desires to bestow upon sinners. That's why the Old Testament sacrificial system is contained in the law of God. Because God desires, without compromising justice in any way, God desires to show mercy to sinners. And that's why all those lambs were slain. To show to sinners the idea of substitution, a sacrifice taking my place. To show to sinners the idea of propitiation, a substitute not only taking my place, but bearing wrath and punishment in my place, being judged in my stead. Justice must be met. Sin must be judged. And yet, if someone can take my place in the judgment and suffer the judgment for my sins that my sins deserve, which is everlasting, eternal death. If someone can take my place and stand before the judge of all the earth as guilty for me and become the object of divine wrath for me, and suffer instead of me, then I can be pardoned, although guilty. But no animal can make atonement for human sin. No other human being can make atonement for human sin because they're already guilty of their own sin. The sacrificial lamb must be pure without spot or blemish. No other sinner can take your place or mine because they all must pay for their own sin and guilt at the judgment. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, says John the Baptist. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yet it pleased Jehovah. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spotless and sinless, loving sinners from eternity past, in time came to Golgotha's hill and gave his life as a ransom for many. That's what the Bible says. He shall bear their iniquities. That is the reason for the gospel. Because God wants to bestow pardon and mercy and forgiveness upon sinners. So he sent the perfect Lamb to substitute, to take the place of penitent sinners, to atone for their sin, to bear their guilt. The reason for the gospel is that God loves his enemies and does good to those who hate him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more then than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that's it. That's the reason for the gospel. That's why God reveals the gospel in the Bible. Because God loved sinners, he loved sinners, and he substituted his only Son for every single sinner that would ever repent and believe in him. The cry of New Testament sermons, therefore, is repent and believe. Turn from your sin and put your faith, trust in Jesus Christ. That, men and women, is the gospel. What's the reason for the gospel? Three things. Number one, the gospel is revealed because of the sin of sinners. Number two, the gospel is revealed because God is righteous in judging sinners. And number three, the gospel is revealed because God desires to love and to bestow love, mercy, and pardon upon sinners. You notice in each of the points, apart from the word God, because God is central to the gospel, but there's another word that is repeated three times. The gospel is revealed for the sin of sinners, because God is righteous in judging sinners, and God desires to pardon, forgive, and bestow mercy upon sinners. The word is sinners. The gospel, the reason for the gospel is sinners. It's for sinners. And here we are in 2020. And we have Bibles beside us, Bibles in the pew, our own Bibles, even maybe in our hands. We are so privileged, aren't we? Because contained in this Bible is the gospel. For hundreds of years, many people never had the gospel. They never had the Bible in their own hands. They didn't have the Bible because the Roman Catholic Church, for the first 800 or 900 years of church history, kept the Bible hidden in Latin. And they murdered anyone who tried to translate it into people's local tongue. Tyndale and Huss and so on. The gospel was hid for many, many years. The Bible was hidden in a foreign language that people couldn't understand apart from the priests. But we here tonight, we have Bibles. We have Bibles in our own language. We can read it ourselves. And in the Bible is the gospel. Not only in the Bible is the Bible is the gospel. All of it. And what is the reason for the gospel? Here is why. The reason for the gospel is this. We failed. We as human beings, every single one of us, we failed. But God cares. We sin, but God provides for us an escape route from the everlasting penalty of our sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of men and women, is for sinners. And if you're a sinner, or I'm a sinner, which I certainly am, it's for you and me. Repent and believe the gospel. But for anyone else listening, and you think that you're good enough without the gospel, and you think you're okay, you are sadly mistaken. In fact, you're an insult to God. Your very attitude is another sin. Because you think that your own goodness renders Jesus Christ coming into this world and being crucified for sinners as unnecessary. If you think yourself you're okay, if you think you're okay, you're going merrily along on your own way to hell. And if you think you're okay without the gospel, you're as cursed as any man or woman ever was. Many times, brethren, have you heard this? I haven't done anyone any harm. Remember, there's a Northern Irish saying, and I haven't done anyone any harm. Come on. Is that the standard for heaven? I haven't done anyone any harm. That's the standard to get into heaven. Is that what the Bible says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever hasn't done anybody any harm should not perish, but have everlasting life. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. I haven't done anyone any harm. What absolute rubbish. That's irrelevant, and it's also a lie. Because we've all done somebody some harm at some point in our lives. Whosoever believeth, not whoever's good enough, but whoever believes, says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You won't. For anyone who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior, you reject the gospel of God, you won't escape. You won't. The reason for the gospel is greatly humbling to us all. The sin of sinners. God is righteous in judging sinners. And God desires to show mercy, pardon, and forgiveness to sinners. I present to you the gospel. Please do not ignore it. If you do, you will die. And if you die in your sins, you're just as much to blame as a person who dies in a fire in a building while ignoring the fire escape. Or you're just as much to blame as a man who drowns in the ocean while completely ignoring the life raft. The reason for the gospel is sinners. We should be absolutely grateful for what God has provided for us. Gratefulness and thankfulness for his mercy. I want to quote to you or read to you a letter. I've maybe done it before, but I love it because it puts across to me this whole idea of gratefulness. Very, very much. And I do this as a close. And then I'll close with a quote from Vodie Bachum just after it, okay? This letter was written on the 21st of November, 1864. And it was written from the Executive Mansion in the United States of America. It says this. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department by the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and helpless or fruitless that must be any words of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering to you the thanks of the Republic that they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father will assuage the grief of your bereavement and leave you only with the cherished memory of the loved and lost and the solemn pride that must be yours to have led so costly a sacrifice on the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States. The letter is an attempt to say to this woman who had lost five sons, thank you. To have led so costly a sacrifice on the altar of freedom. What a costly sacrifice did God lay on the altar of our freedom, that we may receive mercy through the gospel. Mercy. Some people say, it's not Christians, many people say in our society, where's the mercy of God? Where's the mercy of God? You know what? Do you know it was God's mercy that woke you up this morning? Because his judgment should have killed you last night. Every day. Every day you open your eyes, it's God's mercy that woke you this morning. Because his judgment would justly and rightly have killed you last night. Mercy. And we as Christians, not only did he not kill us last night, his mercy is so much that he made us children of the King and gives us everlasting life. That is the gospel. That's the reason for it, for sinners. Thank you for your attention. Amen. And the Lord bless you this evening.